With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, sat here in Baltic conditions and down the other end of the phone in the hills. So I'm imagining he's got his skis ready and waiting for his trip to Tesco later this evening. We're now joined by James Hayes, social media man from the league. Hello James, how are there?
I do, but you're not too far off there because I'm literally on the edge of the snake pass. So,
and everything else was accurate as well, the Tesco...
Pretty much, yeah.
And the skis. Okay, well, thanks for joining us. We'll carry on talking while we've still got a phone line. Obviously, during the show, blizzards and all that, you just don't know near the snake past here. But we will have a full fixture preview later in the show with Yorkshire Coast Radio's very own Andrew Snaith. We'll also be getting his thoughts on Whitby Town and how they're getting on as we get well and truly into 2019. We're also going to be hearing from the new managers at Stafford Rangers and at Hensford. We're also going to be catching up with Dave Cook at Nantwich and his counterpart at Hyde United, Darren Kelly. And later in the show, we're going to be talking to author Dominic McKenzie about his latest book, which is available via the league website, all about the first 50 years of the Northern Premier League. So that'll be coming up later in the show. But James, we've got you on to talk about the results from Saturday and some big, big results on Saturday. Obviously, Nantwich Town weren't in action, but the remaining sides in the playoff positions and at top spot were in action. The big game of the weekend was South Shields against Farsley Celtic, and it went the way of South Shields, a 1-0 victory over Farsley Celtic. Last of the late hitters, really, that one, wasn't it? Because it was so late in the day, that winning goal, but South Shields will take it, James.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a heavyweight clash straight away, and it literally looks like it went the 12 rounds. Listening to the commentary from Live Sports, the goal itself, literally a last gasp attempt for it to go in, and fantastic setup. We've not seen the goal just yet. But again, it's now advantage South Shields with the chasing pack behind them. It is down to South Shields just to maintain that lead and try and get potentially that 10 points that Burke keeps going on about.
10 points. 10 points is no disrespect to South Shields. I think it's pretty clear they are title contenders. Let's say, but 10 points seems a bit ambitious at this stage of the season. We will be having our monthly show in a couple of weeks' time, where we'll know a lot clearer where Berkey stands on the 10 point situation. But one man who will be very happy with what took place last Saturday with that 1-0 win over Farsley Celtic will be Graham Fenton, joint manager at South Shields. And here he is speaking with our friends at South Shields TV on YouTube.
So, Graham, can you sum up your emotions after getting a little late win here?
Tired, I guess. I'm really, really tired. And, yeah, just obviously over the moon, delighted with all the lads today, you know. We knew it was going to be massively tough today. We know we've been on a good run, but so Farsley. First half we probably weren't at our best, you know. They were trying to press us high, and we weren't quite helping each other out enough to total up. And saying that, when we did get the ball down on occasions in the first half, we showed that we could open them up and cause problems. But then second half, when we asked for a response off the lads, second half, I thought they'd give absolutely every ounce of energy they've got, every single one of them, and I thought we just about deserved to win in the end.
One great thing about this team is they always believe until the end and they score again in the 93rd minute of the day. What does that say about them as a team?
It's magnificent, you know, they keep going. That's what we asked off them at half time, just hang yourself out there, just give everything you've got, and you can't fall short. Even if we've got beat, you can't fall short if you give everything you've got, and that's exactly what they've done. And like I say, I thought that second half performance was just about deserved to win.
A bit of a scrappy goal with Dylan again, so his instincts in the box as well, which makes such a difference on someone like that who can pop up at any time.
It's great that he defends exceptionally well at one end, and then you can rely on him every season for his fair amount of goals. We're 6 or 7 or something like that, somewhere around that mark. So, we couldn't quite say because everyone was jumping around, and looked like a scrappy finish, but every goal is a good goal. So we're just delighted with every single one of them. I thought Liam Connell at the other end was absolutely tremendous today. Everything he had to do, he did positively. Caught a lot of balls and took the pressure off us. His distribution was good, and a couple of saves he made were magnificent. So throughout the team, I thought we were great.
Massive build up to today's game as well. What do you think this win could mean for you?
Ultimately, it's just 3 points. So let's not get carried away. It's not like it's the final 3 points to win the league. We've gone 3 points ahead of them. They've got a game in hand. We're only a couple of goals ahead in goal difference. So we're kind of almost like we are at the start of the season against them. There's other results have gone okay for us. But what I will say is that the effort the lads have put in all season, but particularly since Hideaway and whenever it was in October, has been nothing short of magnificent. It's a pleasure to work with these lads. It's great to see them every week trying the best for the club. And we've clawed it back. We've clawed back a big deficit in that past 3 months. And now we've got to make sure that we don't rest on our laurels. All we basically say to the lads is next game. We'll just look after the next game. And hopefully we'll come out with 3 points, and then we'll look at the next one after that. So certainly we're not counting our chickens at this end. We're not going to take our foot off the gas just because we've had a great result today. So we're really looking forward to obviously the game on Tuesday against RCA and next week's game.
Graham Fenton there, full of praise following that win for South Shields last week. And a big thank you to South Shields YouTube channel for that clip there. The link is available in the description to this podcast. And an excellent channel is as well. Loads of interviews, not just with the managers, but the playing staff and highlights and that kind of thing. Great media coverage at South Shields. So that win there for South Shields over Farsley opens up a 3-point gap. That said, Farsley still have that game in hand as well. So with one side dropping points above them, what could Warrington Town do? A 1-1 draw, James, against Lancaster City on Saturday. It's got a bit sticky for Warrington. They haven't won in the last three games, James, when it comes to the league.
And again, this is the same sort of slump we've seen with every other team. It's probably Warrington's time to have that, but not a great opposition to have that against, especially with Brad Carson making his debut at Lancaster there too. You know, he's like from Bamber Ridge, he will score goals for Lancaster this season. Again, they've still got the opportunity and they've still got to play South Shields yet in the next couple of weeks. That could be the crucial game for him, and similar to what it was South Shields Farsley last week. Again, I think most of the top seven, top eight have had that little bit of a run now. So who can maintain the form going forward?
And you'd think as well, it was a great point there for Lancaster City on the road. And you'd think, Lancaster City taking a point against a promotion contender in Warrington would be a good result for Lancaster. But as it transpires, that point sees Lancaster City drop into the relegation places. Quite remarkable, really, isn't it? We'll touch upon the relegation spots in a second or two. But just to finish off the teams, when it comes to the playoff places at the moment, Scarborough as well. Scarborough got a 0-0 away at Matlock Town. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a bad point for Scarborough, all things considered. They're 2 points ahead now of Gainsborough Trinity, sitting in that final playoff spot. Scarborough Athletics, 6 points behind league leader South Shields. So on the road at Matlock, a point, not a bad outcome.
It's an hard one to really judge there at the same time, because it's one of them you wanted that Scarborough could have done with winning, realistically. Again, just to keep in touching distance of South Shields, Warrington. We know what Matlock have been like all season. Matlock still think they've got a chance at the playoffs. Again, it's 11 points and they could still be ranked outsiders, but it's starting to look more, and the players looking at more next season now rather than now. They've still got a good 14 games left in the season.
As we said, Scarborough, 2 points ahead of Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough Trinity picked up a great win at the weekend, travelling to Derbyshire and beating Michelover Sports by 1-0. And there's now a gap now between Gainsborough Trinity and the rest of the league. The gap is 8 points. Hyde United currently filling that seventh spot now. They got a great 1-0 win against Witton Albion on Saturday. We'll be hearing from Darren Kelly in a second, but that's quite a big gap that now between the top six and the rest of the league, James, as we come towards the end of January.
yeah, I think that result there, I think, has put Witton Albion completely out of the playoff race. And we are looking at now basically a top eight, maybe Matt, again, going back to the same minute ago, maybe Matlock, maybe Basedwood. But games between Trinity putting the pressure on, they've got that game in hand. Games are going to Micklover. Micklover were on good form going into this game. And if I remember rightly, someone said on whoever did the previews last week, said that Micklover could cause an upset there. He almost did.
Yeah. It was Mark Carruthers last week, and he nearly predicted correctly. He probably, actually, that's not true, James. He probably said it was a 0-0 draw. Typical Carruthers, sitting on the fence as always. But yes, as we said, Hyde United are the team in seventh position now, 8 points behind Gainsborough Trinity. A good win against Witton Albion, a 1-0 win. And on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Hyde United to see if Hyde United fancy these playoffs. Now, 10 points the gap between Hyde United and Scarborough in the playoffs. What does Darren Kelly think? Darren, a big thank you for joining us. A great result last weekend against Witton Albion. Now just 10 points from the playoffs. I mean, how are you seeing things at Ewan Fields as we head into 2019?
Well, I think this season, you're going to achieve what we did last season. I'm not going to lie, I wish things were that little bit better. In regards to last season, we get a lot of the luck went our way, you know, just everything seemed to go our way. This season we're having, you know, where we've picked up more injuries, you know, players sort of taking that little bit of time to find their feet at a new level, a higher level. You know, so all them little aspects, all them little percentages have sort of gone against us, I think, for a few games probably, you know, so we've lost a few points there along the way through, you know, just them little aspects of our play or off the pitch stuff. So yeah, we're doing okay. I think this season was about consolidation anyway. That was the key to that. But you know, as I say to the players, and you know, all the time, the belief that I have in them, they go out, they wear the shirt with pride, they give absolutely every ounce of everything that they can. And you know, they're sitting seventh. I think if not the better, we probably should have a few more points. And that's also allowing for maybe points that we picked up against opposition that we maybe didn't deserve to, but we did. As well as picking, you know, getting maybe no points against teams that we deserved to. So it's just been a funny old season in regards to everything. But I think we've sort of clicked. You know, bar obviously Bamber Bridge, where we were very disappointing, just a very off day. And then last week we played against a very, very good Witton side who are very organised, are difficult to break down, have players that, you know, will cause you problems. But, you know, first half, they were causing us a few problems. Second half, you know, with a couple of little slight adjustments, we turned it round and we were a better team. Second half, we missed the penalty. So delighted to get a 1-0 win, as I say, against what I think is a very good side. So, yeah, confidence is good. We do everything good and proper. Training's been good this week. So hopefully we can go on against what is another good side on Saturday in Marine. And hopefully we can, you know, again, you know, give a good spirited performance, get a nice clean sheet, a nice win, 3 points, and then move us closer to the playoff place.
I mean, you described it, Darren, as a funny old season, and it is in a way, isn't it? I mean, like you say, the Bamber Bridge result, that followed on from that followed the 8-3 win against Basedwood, and obviously Basedwood were a bit depleted, but still a great performance, and it's...
You know, I speak for us, I think. Every other manager would say the same thing, because everybody's beating each other, you know? It's just one of those seasons, so... The big thing is, this season we were to find our feet, consolidate, be in a nice sort of position. But, you know, it's come to it now where we're sitting seventh, and, you know, team morale, team spirit, the work ethic's always there, the professionalism and the want of the players is there. So, you know, we'll focus, we'll not get too far ahead of ourselves. We'll focus on Marine on Saturday and go there and hopefully, you know, get 3 points where... You know, can move us a little bit closer, and then we'll obviously look on to Hemsford away then. So, yeah, I think, you know, the belief that we have in the squad is more than good enough for, you know, the top sides in this league. It's just putting them runner results together, but also understanding certain aspects of play lack of form, injury, suspension can go against you. So we're also mindful of that as well.
I was going to say, I mean, I was looking at the league table and Hyde United, strangely, are only 12 points above the relegation zone. So I think that goes to show you as well how you're right in what you're saying about everyone being able to beat each other. But how important was that Bamba Bridge result? Because you've got Marine coming up, you've got Hensford coming up, you've got Micklover coming up as well. On paper, you should be beating these teams, but that Bamba Bridge result has probably giving everyone a kick up the backside, which is needed at this stage of the season.
Yeah, you know, it was funny getting into Batesford, where every opportunity we got, we put away. And I said to Dave McGurk, I think it was 7-2, I said I felt flat. Put it this way, to put it sort of, I get more enjoyment out of winning 1-0 at Witten than what I did beating Batesford 8-3. You know, it sounds, you know, people might think I'm crazy for saying that, but I was a centre-back, always prided myself in clean sheets. And when it was 7-2 in the game, and I turned around to Dave and I said, you know what, I feel flat. I said, I feel absolutely flat because we've conceded two. You know, at that time, before sort of the Batesford game, we were with the second-best defensive record in the league, and something I always like to sort of build, you know, my sides on is, you know, build from the back, good, strong, solid defensively. And as I say, we were with the second best defensive record in the league. And then you go and you concede, you know, one, we conceded two. And I'm thinking, you know what, just knocked the stuffing out of me. And rightly so in regards to, we go in then and we sort of concede five against Bamber. You know, so it was, as I say, it was something I wasn't too happy with. The players are better than that. They know that in terms of, you know, their individual battles, their team battles. You know, they know they could have done, you know, better in aspects of their play. They always give 100%. I'm never going to fault with that. But, you know, just aspects of their play, their decision-making, things like that throughout the game were maybe weren't right on the day. And I use that word strongly, on the day, because, you know, that wasn't us. But we responded last week, and hopefully we can kick on and do the same again.
And finally, Darren, how important is that level of experience? I mean, you started the interview talking about last season and the great season it was, yeah, for Hyde United. How important is that experience as you hunt down the likes of Gainsborough and Scarborough and Nantwich? How important is that in the next coming months, do you feel?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge for many things. You know, you just picked upon the point that we're also only 12 points from the relegation zone. You know, we're near
tongue
enough.
In cheek there, Darren. Tongue in cheek, by the way. Carry on.
So that's what I mean. No, but you know, that is the way it is. Everybody's beating everybody. There's still, you know, there's still 15 games to go. So there's still 45 points to play for. So there's still a long way to go, and we've got to be ready. And you know, as I say, we're playing against Marine. You know, the next 5-6 games are against teams below us in the league. So as we said before, you know, we've gotta be on form, we've gotta be on the front foot, we've gotta be, you know, showing and putting in performances that we know we're capable of doing. Otherwise, these teams are going to be creeping up, and then when it gets to the stage, you know, they're on your backside and you're sitting fourth, fifth, sixth from bottom, then it's sort of squeaky bum time. So it's important that we keep momentum, keep being confident, because that's all we ever install in the players. It's all about go out and be yourself and, you know, just give your all for yourself and for the team. And yeah, I think we do that. We don't go far off. And again, it's the key factors in that, which sometimes are out of our hands, is if we can avoid injury, suspension, loss of form, which we were very good with last season. You know, we had hardly any suspensions, we had hardly any injuries. You know, the players, we didn't lose two games in a row. We only lost one and then won the next, you know. So this season's been a little bit different. But as I say, I think we've managed it very well. We've responded when we've needed to. But now for us, if we can start to build a consistency, which I know we can, I think we could, you know, we could challenge for a playoff place.
Darren Kelly there, manager at Hyde United, speaking to me on Friday lunchtime. So Hyde United sitting in seventh position. Now, James, you said of the rest of the pack, you know, you can't rule out Buxton, Matlock, Batesford. I can't see Buxton, James. What Sorry, what happened at Buxton, James, on Saturday?
We got called off because of the snow.
Oh, don't say that. That's what Swampy said wouldn't happen. Oh, no, Swampy. Oh, dear.
In their defence, we know Buxton's got its own ecosystem and literally...
Hey, it's not Buxton I'm having a go at. It's Swampy for Fair silly enough. Statements that he says on the radio. That's all I'm suggesting right there.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Buxton's game postponed. Matlock, as we said, a 0-0 draw with Scarborough Athletic. Baseford United, they've the run that they've been on of late, has, it's not been the best, has it? I mean, currently, they've got the second worst form in the league. Only Northferry United has had a worse run in the last six games. But a great result for Hensford Town, beating Baseford United on Saturday by 3-1. Certainly does relieve some of the pressure at Keys Park when it comes to relegation fears. And because Hensford have got a win, it means I can now speak to the brand new manager who's been in post now for about 3 weeks. It's the former manager at Nuneaton Borough. And I caught up with Nicky Eden, the new manager at Hensford Town, on Friday. So, Nicky, a big thank you for joining us. A great result last weekend. What did you make of it?
Just really pleased. I think we've made six changes from the previous week. And so, having made that many changes, you're never sure how things are going to gel or how things are going to go. Really pleasing to get the win. Kind of stopped the rot a little bit. Of the previous few weeks.
Now, obviously, you've come into the situation at Keys Park, and it's a difficult situation. I mean, we had your predecessor on at the start of the season, and Hensford, they were looking south. Then they got told they were having to play north, and then obviously there's been the management change, and there's been so many chopping and changing going on with the squad. I mean, what's your assessment of Hensford in these early stages of your career at the club as a manager?
I've been really pleased. You know, you mentioned all the changes, but it is actually a very stable club. Like I said, there's nothing at the moment, there's nothing better in this climate than having a stable club that's well run, and that's one thing that Hensford is. Without going daft, and you know, there's loads of examples of clubs that, you know, at these levels that are sort of boom and bust. You know, you get a money man that backs it through, has a bit of success, they might get a promotion, so they back them again and they overspend, and then somebody gets bored, pulls the money out, and the club goes down. But Hensford, you know, it just is a real good, stable club, and it might be a case of that it just needs to get a group of players coming together at the right time to kick on.
And that's been the challenge, hasn't it? The getting the settled squad kind of thing, because that's really, it's not been Hensford's fault. It's just the circumstances at the start of the year. It's kind of thrown a curveball at the club in a way, and it's still recovering from it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one thing when I did come in, a lot of Midlands-based players, obviously. You know, you don't want players travelling from all over. But I mean, one thing I had a look at, and you know, I mean, I'm from the north, and I'd got that mentality of what I'd be thinking if there were a team from further south coming up to players, you know. So we just need to toughen up a little bit, you know, and get some players who've got experience of that league. So that's what we've tried to do. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been ideal thinking in one league and preparing for that and then getting put in another league. You know, then obviously a managerial change that has its own impact. And I think, you know, at this level, there's a lot of players that are non-contract. So there's obviously going to be lots of chopping and changing of players. Players, if they're not playing for a couple of weeks, might just leave, or you know, you get sort of get rid of players on the same basis.
I mean, obviously, your previous job was at Nuneaton, so you've had that kind of Midlands club looking northwards and the challenges that offers. I mean, what's your take on how you found the Northern Premier League so far? Because we had Darren Kelly on earlier from a Hyde United perspective.
Yeah.
We're talking about the playoffs, but, you know, Hyde United are only 12 points from the relegation places, remarkably. It is bonkers, isn't it?
It's a tough league, you know, and there's nobody running away with it. And a lot of the time, it's... you know, at this level, the one above, it's all turns up on the day. If you get your team and you get eight or nine of your lads really at it, you're probably going to get a positive result. You might get a day when there's probably eight or nine of them not at it, and you'll get beat. That can be against anybody in the league, really. But it's a real tough, it's a man's league. You know, so that's what... We had some nice footballers, but I just saw that in the games we had that we got beat up. Basically.
And this weekend, you're going up to, not to be too disrespectful, but Bamber Bridge. It's a lovely part of the world, but you are going to deepest, darkest Lancashire. It is a it's turned into a bit of a relegation six-pointer, like I say. I mean, there's not too much separating the bottom end of the table with the top, and these games now have become really, really important, which is quite remarkable considering we're only at the end of January.
Yeah, so it shows you how sort of tight the league is. A couple of defeats and you get dragged right down into it. A couple of wins and you can be well cleared of it at that stage. But, you know, I'm not one to look too far forward anyway, so we're just going to look at that, view that game tomorrow as just the next game that we've got to try and win. You know, and that's whether it's Bamber Bridge or whoever in the league, you know, that's the way you've got to try and look at it.
What's your prognosis then for the remainder of the season for Hensford? It's literally taking each game as it comes and trying to get the points where you can, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you just got to look for more positives than negatives, you know, in terms of performance, but mainly results. You know, they're not won, including my first four games, not won in about, well, won one game in about 12. That's obviously got to stop. And hopefully last Saturday was the start of a better period and a better run of form.
And just before you go, Nicky, just one last question, just about the club you're at, Hensford Town, Keys Park. It's a fantastic stadium, fantastic club. Obviously, it's been higher up the non-league pyramid. Looking forward to the future at the club?
Yeah, like I say, it's nice to be in a stable environment, you know, and a club that does sort of everything it can to make things as easy as they can for, you know, without being throwing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds at it, you know. But the people at the club, they can't do enough for you. Any little thing they will do to help, they can and they will. And hopefully now that we've had the big second upheaval in the squad, obviously with previous managers leaving, there was a bit of upheaval. We've had to do the same. But hopefully now this is, you know, the start of a more settled period and hopefully more successful.
Nicky Eden there, manager at Hensford Town. Hensford Town then 3 points above the relegation zone. We should go to the relegation places now. It's very, very tight, isn't it, down the bottom end, James? We've got in 15th position on 32 points, Grantham Town. Then there's Hensford Town there, 3 points above the relegation places. Marine is currently 1 point above the relegation places. Michelover Sports, 1 point above the relegation places. Stafford Rangers, 20 goals ahead of the relegation places. Then there's Lancaster City, who got a point at the weekend against the promotion chaser, but now find themselves third bottom of the league on 28 points. Then there's Workington. Workington got a win on Saturday, James, beating Bamber Bridge by 2-1. And let's hear now the post-match reaction from that game. Obviously, we heard from John Walsh last week. Here's John Walsh speaking to Workington's manager. Here's Lee Andrews.
Lee, well done. That was a totally committed performance by the lads out there this afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. From 1 to 11, everyone was fully committed to it today. We know that to get out of the situation we're at the moment, we need to grind out a few results. And then once we do that, confidence will come flooding back and then we can start playing our football. And I think today, that's what you call a grind. We've dug in when we needed to. We're probably unfortunate just to win 2-1, to be honest, because I thought second half we dominated the game. From 1 to 11, everyone was superb today.
And another home game, of course, a big home game next week against Michelover, one of the teams who were down in the bottom six.
Yeah, every game's a massive game now, but with a little cliche of taking one game at a time, but we've said to the lads in the dressing room there to enjoy today's win, but it'll mean nothing if we come out next week and we don't perform and get the results. So we need to grind another result out next week, and I'm more than confident that what we've got in the dressing room and the lads we've got coming in, that it's a game that we can go and get all maximum 3 points from.
Well done, Lee. Thanks very much indeed.
Cheers, thanks.
That was Lee Andrews there speaking to John Walsh, and a big thank you to BBC Radio Cumbria and Workington's media team for that piece of audio there. So, James, a great relief, I'm going to suggest, for Lee Andrews and everyone at the club that Workington have got a win on the board given the difficult circumstances over the last month or so.
Yeah, I think it was much, much needed for Workington just to get morale up. I think John Walsh mentioned exactly the same sort of thing on last week's show too, about obviously that little bit of luck just going their way and now players are starting to come back in. It can do wonders. We've seen it in the last couple of seasons. Are they out the woods at the moment? No, they obviously win 2 games down, they're still in the relegation zone. But could be the start of something here.
Just to finish off some of the results then from down the bottom end, Marine with a 1-1 draw against Stalybridge Celtic, which is a great result for Marine, but not surprising actually, because a couple of people did predict that, I think, that Marine would get something from that game, given the upturning form by the Merseysiders of late. And a great result as well for Stafford Rangers, getting themselves out the relegation places, bringing Grantham back into play as well. A 5-0 away win for Stafford Rangers on Saturday at Grantham Town. Well, we're now joined by joint manager at Stafford Rangers, it's Andy Fern. And welcome to the show, Andy. And a great victory against Grantham last weekend. You must be dead chuffed with that one.
Absolutely, Ben. And I think it was well deserved and probably overdue. And I'm just disappointed it didn't happen before Christmas while Steve was with us, because the performances were really quite good. And we probably didn't gain the points that we were expecting before Christmas. But last Saturday, to go to Grantham, a notoriously difficult place to get any kind of result, and to actually win 5-0 was a fabulous result, and it was a credit to the hard work of all the players involved.
And one of the things that was said when you got appointed was the fact it was about continuity, because it's clear that Stafford Rangers do have a good squad this season. It's just not clicked for whatever reason. How important is that continuity value heading into 2019 and this, I'm going to suggest, probably 10-team relegation fight that's taking place at the moment?
Well, I think it's terribly important from the club's point of view, and also from the players' point of view, because I think when such a well-respected manager like Steve decides primarily for personal reasons to depart, the continuity factor gives that assurance to the players that there's not going to be too disruption around the dressing room. Because naturally, you know, the other option is for a new management team to come in with a different style of play, a different set of players, and of course that just breeds a little wariness amongst the squad. So to have the board put their faith in Alex and myself to maintain, if you like, the progress that we've been making with Steve was a very positive statement for everybody at the club.
And I think we had Steve Burr on the week earlier, but that he sadly left the club. But it was we were speaking at the time. Obviously, there'd been a fundraising campaign by the supporters to help with one of the stands there. As a club, it's such a big non-league club. I mean, what's it like? What's your assessment of where you find yourselves, you and Alex, as joint managers of the club now?
Well, I think we both fully appreciate that the early part of the season, despite an attractive brand of football that we were playing on the pitch, we were making far too many individual errors, which were costing us badly, and we weren't getting the points that probably the performances might have merited. But as other people will say, you get what you deserve, and you know that's been the case. But since the turn of new year and the events, obviously post Boxing Day with Steve departing, we focused a hell of a lot more on defensive structure, shape, and discipline, and I think the players have bought into that without us losing that attractive method of football. And again, last week, going back to Grantham, scoring 5 goals is just testimony to the fact that we are a very strong attacking outfit. But I think we've started to close the back door, and we've made a couple of important signings in the last 3 weeks, and it's noticeable that since those players have come in, actually we've only conceded 1 goal, which is a fabulous situation to be in, and long may it continue.
And obviously coming up, I mean, I wasn't joking when I said it's 10 teams. I mean, Hyde United, sitting in 7th at the moment, are only 12 points above the relegation zone. So I think that goes to show you the nature of the division.
Absolutely.
As we enter 2019. And, you know, you've got a big game this weekend against Gainsborough. And then you've got equally big games against Lancaster and Scarborough, Bamber Bridge and Batesford. You could argue, you know, you've got two playoff chasers in that mix of fixtures there, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Because Bamber Bridge and the likes of Lancaster City, they're going to be equally tough games.
I think any game in this division is tough. And I think even we have proven this season that on our day, Ben, we can beat any side in this league. I mean, we did beat Basford when they were really at the top of the table earlier in the season in the league. We beat them 3-1, and it perhaps should have been more on the evening. You know, we competed exceedingly well against Gainsborough at home in the autumn, and were disappointed with a 1-1 draw at home. And, you know, even going away to South Shields, the second away game of the season, the result really hinged on a very disappointing 2 yellow cards for Luke Jones when we were totally in the game. And obviously with 10 men on the pitch, we fell away a little bit. But any team with a good disciplined performance can beat anybody in this league. And, you know, you look at Grantham, and I read disappointingly some reports last week that Grantham were poor outfit. Well, I can assure you Grantham are not a poor outfit. And it was only a week prior to our game that they took a point from, at the time, league leaders Farsley Celtic at Throstle Nest.
Yes.
So, you know, it just shows you, you know, at this level, at this league, anybody beats anybody on the day. What we have been seriously lacking throughout the season is any form of consistency. And we've said to our lads, and the lads buy into it, that, you know, three or four wins on the bounce, and suddenly we can be looking, you know, I won't say and be arrogant at the playoffs, but we can be looking a long way away from where we presently are in the league. But, you know, you don't just win games willy-nilly. You have to earn the right, and you have to put in a very disciplined and hard-working performance. And the last four games, we've seen that starting to come through, and we're confident that with a few more wins under our belt, we can start to see a bit of daylight.
Well, Andy Fern, joint manager at Stafford Rangers. Just before you go, just last question, really. Are you and Alex enjoying yourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we get on great together. I mean, you know, most people will tell you it's, you know, Alex is a first-class coach on the training ground. I'm a little bit more analytical, and we work tremendously as a partnership. We obviously worked with Steve at Stalybridge Celtic last season. We've had a great rapport. And back in the day, Alex was actually a player for me and Steve at Stalybridge Celtic back in around about 2008, I think. So we get on great, and we get on great with the players as well. And we're just trying to build a great deal of harmony and banter amongst the players in the dressing room. And it's working very well, and long may it continue.
And James, I think I've only got one last result to mention from Saturday, and that involves Whitby Town. And speaking of which, we'll be hearing from Andrew Sneath shortly from Yorkshire Coast Radio with a fixture preview for this weekend. Whitby Town with a 6-1 victory over Northumberland United. The gap now between Northumberland United and safety is 18 points. It's not looking good.
No, again, we've said it on the monthly show that I think Northumberland are starting to look at the future. Yeah, the results aren't going the other way, but they've shown that they can still got that development going. It's just, what can Northumberland do with a young side at this moment?
Mm-hmm. It's a tricky situation, isn't it? But Whitby Town there with a 6-1 victory, and we'll hear from Andrew Sneath in a second. But James, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. Any parish notices before we go? Lots of good goals, by the way, on the old social media from last Saturday, not just in the Premier Division, but also at Step 4.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, obviously,
don't mention the Radcliffe lob. No one cares.
No. Well, no one cares about that one, but quick. Well,
great
I do. Let's be...
It was a great goal. I'm only kidding. I'm only joking. It was a fabulous goal.
Listen, yeah. Ben Morton doesn't listen to the show, so we'll probably get away with that one. But this weekend in the West as well, you've got a massive weekend coming up with 7 and the top 8 playing each other. So I think that this could be the weekend that decides who's in for the title race. News.
It's not getting sorted that early, James. It's far too close, isn't it? Up at the top of Division West.
There's tie scoring weekend in both divisions as well. Obviously, you had the 2-8, you had the 8-0 and 8-1 for Gavitt and Colliers and Colne. And then in the East, you had a 7-3 as well. Spalding United jumping out of the relegation spots there against Bonty for acting third. So Spalding and Stocksbridge with two massive results over the weekend. Stocksbridge knocking Pickering out the top 10 I've not even counted how many goals there was this weekend because there was quite a few across both divisions.
And good filming, everybody, as well. And James and the rest of the social media team doing a cracking job bringing those goals to life on social media. And some fantastic goals from Saturday afternoon. But James, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely weekend and enjoy the snow. Enjoy the snow.
That's right.
A big thank you to James Hayes, social media officer for the Northern Premier League, for joining us on this week's show. But as alluded to just a second ago by the magic of radio, 4 hours later since I interviewed James Hayes, we're now joined by Mr. Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio. Hello, Andy. How's things?
Hi, Ben. Yeah, very well. Thank you. Nice to be back.
Radio's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's like I've had me since I spoke to James, literally a second ago for the listener, I've had me tea. We've both put our kids to bed. It's been great. But anyway, it's time to talk about this weekend's fixtures. I should say, later in the show, we will be talking to Dominic McKenzie about that MPL 50th anniversary special book that's available via the Evo Stick League website, where it's not to be missed, that interview, because I don't think I've ever interviewed an author before, so God knows what's going to happen. And God knows what's going to happen this weekend, Andy. It's loads of matches taking place, the biggest of which, I have to say, is probably going to involve yourself on commentary. South Shields against Whitby Town. Whitby Town with a great win last weekend, that 6-1 victory over Northferby United. South Shields at Mariners Park. What are you hoping for and what are you expecting?
Those two things being very different. I'm expecting an extremely tough game against the league leaders, team that are 100% at home. I'm expecting a long afternoon for this defence. I think we're going to have a little bit of luck and going to be absolutely on top of our game to get anything at all up at South Shields. I am looking forward to it, though. There's a few ex-Whitby in the South Shields lineup, Lee Mason leading the line, being the main one. And of course, South Shields, they've got a really good reputation amongst the rest of the league. They're well thought of. There doesn't seem to be any jealousy or friction there. I think just a lot of goodwill towards them, to be honest. But I think it's going to be an extremely tough afternoon for Whitby's defence.
And I know we're going to speak to each other in a month's time or so, as per normal. But you know, sitting in 12th position, 14 points from the playoffs, have you ruled out the playoffs now? You personally, not speaking on behalf of Whitby Town, but where do you see Whitby in the playoff shake-up?
Not quite there, I don't think. There's that little gap opening up between 6th and 7th, where you've got Gainsborough on 48 points and then you're down to Hyde on 40. That 8 point is a big 8 points, I think. And I think Chris Hardy will have ambition to get into that top 7 or 8. And I think if Whitby have a little bit of good luck and a good run, then that's possible. I think they showed last weekend that they can do. I would admittedly say, unfortunately, that Ferriby did look very poor, and I do worry about them. I do wish them well. But it's the first time Whitby have hit 6 in the league since goodness knows how long, Ben. I think I've given up counting that one. But it's a tough one. But I don't think Whitby are going to threaten the top 5. But I do think they have a chance of finishing in the sort of the top half shake-up, because there's a lot of teams in a fairly small space that are competing.
Well, let's be honest, it's a lot more comfortable than it was last season. I think can agree with that statement.
That's a really good point, Ben. Sorry, I know you want to move on.
No. I'm filled with good points. Carry on.
I think it's one that would be fun to. It's really worth taking that on board as to where we were last season. I think Chris Hardy almost the victim of his own success. We had a tremendous season the year before when he first came in, pushing the playoffs. Went awry last year, but I think to be mid-table and in a strong division, I think it's no disgrace. It would be very inconsistent, but it's not dull. And I don't think there's any disgrace in being halfway up.
So South Shields against Whitby Town, full commentary available on Yorkshire Coast Radio, and we'll give that a big plug before you go, Andy. But just to talk about some of the other matches this weekend, I said South Shields against Whitby Town is a biggie, and it is a biggie. But also on the East Coast, we've got Scarborough Athletic against Farsley Celtic. That game, I would suggest you could actually see from space if anyone was looking. It's big, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You would argue, well, I guess it is equally big for both sides, isn't it? Well, Scarborough obviously desperate to stay in that playoff shake-up, and fans are wanting to get back, putting the pressure on South Shields. They still have that game in hand, 3 points behind the goal difference, so close to close. We had them with identical records going into the top of the table clash, which must be virtually unheard of. It's so tight at the top there. And of course, you've got Warrington and Nantwich there breathing down the necks. It's a really good race, actually, up at the top end. You would think that Scarborough are just a little bit off the pace there, but they are still only 6 points behind South Shields. It's probably worth bearing in mind, despite the awful run they had. They seem to have arrested that form a little bit. Those back-to-back wins, hard fought for Matt Local on Saturday. You think that, you know, Scarborough do get a win on Saturday, and they'll start to look upwards rather than downwards, and start to think that they still have an outside chance of that title spot. It should be an intriguing Yorkshire derby, to say the least.
Not to be disrespectful to the four teams above Scarborough, but if results go a certain way this weekend, we could have the top five separated by 3 points. Which would be quite remarkable, really. And it's not beyond all realms possibility that could happen. So South Shields against Whitby Town, Scarborough against Farsley Celtic, Warrington Town against Grantham. Grantham had not the best of afternoons last Saturday, but neither did Warrington. So a draw against Lancaster City. It's 3 league games now without a win for Warrington.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be desperate to bounce back against Grantham. Warrington, absolutely right in there, right in the thick of it in third spot. Only 5 defeats all season, only 18 goals conceded in 26 games. It is that miserly defence they rely on, but the forwards need to do their job as well. You know, they haven't been scoring many of late either. You know, they had that 1-0 defeat at Scarborough recently as well. So yeah, a little bit of pressure on the forwards. The defence are certainly doing their job, but a little bit of pressure on the forwards to do theirs as well and get themselves back in that, keep themselves in that title picture, but get themselves back into form.
And as we said earlier, Grantham Town just 4 points above the relegation places now. So it's not the easiest of games, that one, for Warrington. Nantwich Town didn't have a game last weekend, but they're in action this weekend as they travel to Causeway Lane to take on Matlock Town. And I've got a funny feeling Nantwich Town might have a spring in the step with the signing of Ricardo Fuller. So let's hear now from the manager at Nantwich Town. I caught up with Dave Cook on Friday. So, Dave, a happy new year to you and a big thank you for joining us on this week's MPL show. Obviously, you've had a weekend off. Was that a blessing? Because obviously the thing with Nantwich was you've had a fair few games played more than everyone else and it's starting to close up now.
Well, we've had 2 weeks off, really, haven't we? Yeah. Because, you know, because we brought that North Ferriby game forward. So we would have liked to have played last weekend, but unfortunately the weather dictated that. So we're back to this Saturday at Matlock.
And heading into this game now, like we said, you've now only played a game more than the likes of South Shields and Warrington, and they've not gone too far ahead of you. So well and truly in this title race. And how do you see things shaping up as we head into February?
I think you look at the table has shaped up last few weeks. That's not discounting the teams out of the top six. There's some very, very good sides that can certainly get themselves back into it. But yeah, I mean, I watched the highlights of South Shields and Farsley, and that was a fantastic advert for the level of football, I thought. Two very good teams and nothing really in it. So it's going to be tough. I've said it all season. It's going to be tough, so we'll have to wait and see.
And in the meantime, while you've not been kicking the ball in anger, you have been busy in the transfer market. And Ricardo Fuller joining Nantwich, a cracking player, but also a level of experience as well. So is that a signal of intent right there from Nantwich?
Yeah, I mean, Ricardo doesn't live far away. His son plays with one of our teams, and Danny Higginbottom does bits and bobs for the club. His son's with the youth team as well. So that was how the conversation started. And Rick's been playing in exhibition matches and he's the ambassador for Jamaican, the football team. So we just got talking and he fancied it. And he's been down training for like the last four or five sessions, and he's getting sharper and sharper. And to be honest with you, he looks a part.
Obviously, this weekend it's Matlock Town, and Matlock over the last few months have put themselves in that chasing pack, chasing down the playoff contenders. This is a tough game this weekend because Matlock, as they've proven time and again over the last few months, are no mugs.
No, I mean, I actually went to the Matlock Scarborough game last week, and there was nothing in the teams at all. Again, that was a good advert for the level. Two teams having a go, and Matlock give us our heaviest home defeat of the season, and they're a good, well organised side. So all games are tough. All games are tough, Ben. One game at a time.
You ruined my last question then, Dave, because I was going to say, obviously, and I have asked a few managers this already, you know, when you look on the horizon and you see those big games coming down the track, no disrespect to Matlock and Bamber Bridge, but you've got that Farsley game coming in a few weeks' time as well. So one game at a time is your answer, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I go back to last year when we went to Altrincham in midweek. I mean, look, we weren't where we are now, but we went with a weakened team and we lost 5-1. And even if we'd have gone with the strongest team available, because we got a couple of suspensions and we rested a couple for the FA Cup, we would have probably still got beat. And the point I'm trying to make on that is that there's no easy games. And even if you just save your strongest team for the next Saturday, maybe against a team that's near the bottom, you still could have got turned over. And you look at the results, and Grantham get a fantastic point at Farsley, and then you lose 5-0 at home. And you just, there's just no way you can predict a result in this league.
And just before you go, Dave, obviously, you know, I can hear the budgies in the background. Have they given you any insight into what formation you should be playing tomorrow against Matlock?
Well, I think the budgies on the perch, as I said, 4-4-2, but it could be 3-5-2 tomorrow, so we'll have to wait and see.
So Dave Cook there joining me on Friday. That's the future, Andrew. Andrew Snaith joins us from the past on Yorkshire Coast Radio. We've covered the top five there: South Shields, Farsley, Warrington, Nantwich Town, Scarborough Athletic. 2 points outside the playoffs, with a game in hand over Scarborough's Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough taking on Stafford Rangers this weekend. Stafford Rangers, great win last weekend to see themselves out of the bottom three. Just to say about Gainsborough, 8 points ahead now of the rest of the league. I mean, we had Darren Kelly on earlier from Hyde United. It's certainly shaping up that way at the moment, that, you know, if Gainsborough get a victory this weekend, and say, for example, Hyde United and Buxton and Matlock fail to get results, the league's finally starting to stretch out a bit.
And, you know, you look down and Stafford fourth bottom. I mean, 12 points between them and 8th place Buxton. You know, it's a funny one how it's ruled out. In fact, 12 points between them and 7th place Hyde. So, you know, I do as much threat as I would be as the bottom end as they are the top. So it is starting to stretch out. You would be hard-pressed to see outside the top six for the promotion places. I think that's fair to say. Gainsborough surprised me because they were excellent early on in the season. I saw them at the North End against Whitby. I thought they were tremendous. I thought they were definitely going to. To be fair, I thought they were dark horses for the title. Seeing them on that performance, and then it sort of fell in the race since then. They had a bit of a barren run through December, and they're just hoping to rebuild. I mean, the good news from them is they are still on the shoulders of the playoff places, but as I said, they'll be a little disappointed as the way things have gone in the last month or so.
Let's talk about the teams down the bottom end then. You mentioned North Ferriby earlier. North Ferriby taking on Basford, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to North Ferriby, but they are on a bad run at the moment. But so are Basford, and this game's come at the right time for Basford, I feel, because it's not been the best recently. Now, earlier we were talking about the big games this weekend, and with a focus on the promotion race, but there is a big, big game taking place down the bottom end of the table. Workington against Micklethwaite Sports. Workington currently second bottom, got a win last weekend, a vital win, 8 points from safety. They're 9 points behind Micklethwaite Sports, who are currently fifth bottom. But Workington have got 4 games in hand over Micklethwaite Sports. So 9 points behind them, 4 games in hand. That's same old question, points on the board, games in hand. I'm pretty sure Workington would much rather be where Micklethwaite Sports are. But a win for Workington this weekend could help them on that road.
Yeah,
Yeah, a little bit of momentum with the victory last week. Home advantage, I think that's a big thing. Across the league, if you look at the records, home advantage is a big, big thing. Not many people are good away. And I think Mikulova will struggle there. Just wondering on the travels all season. It's a long way up to Cumbria, over to Workington. It won't be warm, that's for sure. I would fancy Workington to keep that winning run going.
And we had Nicky Eden on earlier, and Bamber Bridge against Hensford, that's a big game as well. Bamber Bridge, you made an interesting point, actually, Andrew, and it's basically saying that, you know, when we're talking about the relegation places and all that, you do look at Buxton and you go, you're not that far ahead, are you? I mean, it's only 10 points, isn't it, or so, to the relegation places. And I think because of all those teams in the middle of that league table, you don't really think of it that way. But Hensford are an example of how quickly it can turn around in a negative way. That win last weekend for Hensford has really helped relieve that pressure. But teams like Bamber Bridge, this is a must not get beat here against Hensford.
Yeah, absolutely right. Home advantage again, maybe labouring that point a little bit, but Bamber Bridge are decent at home. Just three defeats there and poor away. So, you know, you would fancy Bamber Bridge possibly with that home advantage. Hensford, you have a half an eye on what's happening off the field, but as much as on it. That can often drag teams down there, even if you're in good form on the field previously. We'll keep an eye on this one, but yeah, Ben, you always worry. One team, just like one team sometimes comes from nowhere to get in the playoff picture, often one team drops like a stone and you don't expect it and get dragged in.
Now, Hyde United beat Witton Albion last weekend. Hyde United taking on Marine this weekend. Witton Albion travelling to Lancaster City. For Hyde United, it's important to... A win could see them close the gap on the playoff places at a very crucial time of the season. But for Marine, for Lancaster City, and as Simo was saying, even Witton Albion, they might have the games in hand, but they're certainly not out the relegation pitch at the moment. The likes of Lancaster, yep. Marine... all have to keep winning, and this is a tough game, Lancaster City against Witton Albion, and I'm going to suggest Mark Fell will be chomping at the bit to take 3 points out of Witton here.
Oh, absolutely. Big game for Lancaster. You know, just down, of course, from Workington. I say just, but it's probably about 80 miles or so, but, you know...
Near Workington. Come on. Come on.
Seeing geography, GCSE. Yeah.
Morecambe is Lancaster's rival, once upon a time. Anyway.
I always thought Workington Lancaster was the derby. I used to think Workington Kendal was the derby. I was told there was 80 miles between. Anyway, so, yeah, Lancaster, where was I? Into that geographical hornet's nest. But, yeah, Lancaster, big, big home game against Witton Albion. We've kind of been talking about Witton in hushed tones, haven't we? You know, we've got a few games in hand, or got a few games in hand still. Don't seem to have done anything with them. You know, they've still got a few games in hand, but they just don't seem to have got that winning run going. We know they're a good side. We know that they've pulled off results here and there. It just hasn't quite happened for them. They haven't been able to string together a really, really good run to push up into that top half. It might be that this is a game to get that going, but you know, I think it'll be a difficult one for them. And Lancaster, they'll be looking nervously over their shoulder. Workington, not their neighbours, have three games in hand on them, 8 points behind. They've got to start getting results.
And we've got the Phillips and Halford derby taking place this weekend. It's Buxton against Stalybridge Celtic. Buxton on the fringes of the playoff positions. Stalybridge, if Buxton are on the fringes, so are Stalybridge, even though there's four places separating the two teams. There's only 1 point, which I think goes to show you how tight it is in mid-table.
Yeah, the old A6 derby there. Yeah, Buxton, Stalybridge, I think it'd be a great game. Stalybridge are fucking
one. That is not a derby. No, it's not. I'm not having this.
You can do it in an hour. It's a derby.
And finally, just before you go, and, just a plug then for South Shields against Whitby Town this weekend. Live coverage on Yorkshire Coast Radio. I do feel like I have to mention Scarborough and Farsley will also be on the same station. But yeah, you'll be urging people to click on the Whitby Town link, I'm assuming.
I would actually, but yeah, do feel free to click around if you wish. Bridlington's on as well. Anyway, we don't talk about them. But yeah, Whitby travelling to South Shields. Myself and producer Lee will be making the trip up the A1. Can't wait. Mariners Park, South Shields versus Whitby Town, 3 p.m, Yorkshire Coast Radio Extra. Go to yorkshirecoastradio.com, click the extra link, and then click on the Whitby Town.
And a big thank you to Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio for joining us on this week's show. That's nearly it for this week's EvoStick NPL show. But just before we go, there's just enough time for a bit of a plug. And a new book detailing the first 50 years of the Northern Premier League is now available to order via evostickleague.co.uk. It's the first ever history of the league, and it's been painstakingly researched and compiled and written over the past 3 years by the likes of Phil Bradley, Dave Waters and Steve Whitney. And joining us now, it's another man who's helped put this book together. It's our friend Dominic McKenzie. And a big thanks for joining us, Dom. The book is available on pre-order. And there's been, like we said there, four people involved in much of the production of this book and the research. So much research gone into it. I mean, what was the area that you researched as part of this book?
Basically, I went through all the 50 seasons to try and get as much information as I could so that it would be of interest to both young and old, so that those who don't really know the early years of the league would be able to find out certain facts and gain something from it. I also went into all 168 clubs that have been members of the league, and I've tried to find out every single ground that has been used within the league during those 50 years.
And going back to those early days then of when it was created, I mean, what was the thinking behind it then and the scale of it and the clubs involved in the formation of it in those early days?
To be quite honest, the idea came up from the chairman of the Southern League, who met the Altrincham chairman, Peter Swales, by chance at a commercial meeting. They got talking afterwards about football, and the chairman of the Southern League told Peter Swales about it. And from that, Peter Swales and others organised a meeting in Altrincham. And there were 72 teams attended. And from that, a group of 20 were sort of penciled in. Now, some of them never made it into the league. They withdrew their applications, and other people who wanted to go in jumped at the chance to be one of the original 20.
You know, now we've got to this stage where, you know, the Northern Premier League, well established 50 years on. Looking back over the history of the Northern Premier League, what do you think is the main legacy of the Northern Premier League as we now go well and truly into the 21st century?
Well, the legacy for me is the fact that it's part of the pyramid that's being created, and for the teams in the north of England, it's absolutely vital. You know, you've got leagues below, and they've come together to form the Northwest Counties League and the Northern Counties East League, and they've been able to feed up into the Northern Premier. And the Northern Premier is a real driver in the sense that its grounds need to be that much better. The way they are run, from a financial point of view, and also from the standards that they require, are so much greater. So you've got teams that are continually trying to feed through in their efforts to move higher in the pyramid.
Well, Dom McKenzie, a big thank you for joining us on the show to highlight this book that's now available on pre-order via evostickleague.co.uk. A lot of great work's gone into it. We speak about, you know, Dave Waters' input, Steve Whitney's input as well, of course, but also Phil Bradley as well. Just a little mention for him, because he did the research for the 30th anniversary 20-odd years ago, and all that work that went into that can't be understated as well.
That's correct. He's also added some later bits of information, so it's been worthwhile.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Also, a special thanks to the media teams at Workington and at South Shields, and, of course, John Walsh at BBC Radio Cumbria for allowing us access to their post-match interviews from Saturday. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van.
EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.